So, thanks for that. So, guys, hopefully... Oh, thanks for that too. When God wants to speak to you, it can be about something so simple, something in church, you know, we get really blasé about God's love because we talk about it all the time, we hear about it all the time. Colin's constantly telling us that all we need is love, which is amazing, by the way. And what I really want us to do today, guys, is just take some time to go over the basics again and to let God speak to us, to stop and to look again at his amazing love, which is just incredible. But I'm not going to do all the work. I would like you guys to participate. So first of all, what I'd like you to do is just turn to the person next to you. And I want you to, you've got 1 minute to discuss this following question. How do I know that God loves me? So just with the person next to you, turn to them now. I'm going to start my timer, give you a minute to have a chat about how do I know God loves me? Okay, I know that's not long, guys, but I'm going to call you back together now. And what I'd like you to do is just take it in turns, just shout something out, some reason why you personally know that God loves you. Anybody, go for it. He gave his life for Desi and all of us, Desi. Awesome. So Jesus gave his life for us. Anything else? It's written in the Bible. Awesome, you're coming up for the same reasons I did. He heard you and he rescued you and you called for his help. He forgives me. He's done things for me. People keep telling me. What was yours, Elaine? He wants to bless you. Awesome. So you guys came up with pretty similar reasons to me, to be honest. And what I want to do is just spend a little bit of time going through some of those reasons in a bit more detail. So first one on my list was, I know that God loves me because he's told me so. Everyone knows the little song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. I won't sing it. And actually, the Bible is a huge way that God has communicated with the human race. And it's full of references of God's love, what God's love's like, how we experience God's love, how we can know that he loves us. And it's easy when you're thinking about the Bible and God's love to think that it's all in the New Testament and to think that actually the Old Testament, you know, that God was kind of a bit about judgment and doom and gloom, and the New Testament we see Jesus and God's love. But actually, when you look up God's love in the Bible, the very first people that ever knew God, that ever came across who God was and that God ever introduced him to, knew of his unfailing love and his faithfulness. There's a reference in Genesis 24 where Abraham's servant is talking, and he's talking about God's unfailing love and faithfulness to his servant Abraham. So even other people who came into contact with these guys' lives could see God's love and what his love was like through their experience of God. And when God himself introduced himself to Moses, he calls himself the God of compassion and mercy. And he says, I'm slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. And those two phrases, faithfulness and unfailing love, come up throughout the entire Old Testament. Whenever there's a reference to God's love, that's what they talk about. And there's a phrase used in a couple of the Psalms, Psalm 118, 136, and some others, and it describes God's love. And that phrase is amazing because it's tiny, But God basically manages to say the same thing three times because he really wants us to get it. And he says, it says about God, his faithful love endures forever. And I love it because it's like his love's faithful, it's loyal, it's steadfast, it's always there for us. It's never going to let us down. Nothing can separate it from us. We can rely on it. His love's faithful. His love endures. It's going to be there through everything that I go through. It remains. It lasts. It's long lasting. And his love is forever, for always, for all future time. It's unending. And it's like in one tiny phrase, he just says, guys, my faithful love for you endures forever. And that's from the Old Testament people. We haven't even got to Jesus yet, so that's amazing. So that was my first reason. My second reason, of course. So we know that God loves us because of Jesus. And it's interesting because at the beginning of John's Gospel, which is John's account of Jesus, John says that Jesus was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. So it comes out straight away again that God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. So as soon as we see God personified on the earth in Jesus, exactly the same characteristics come through. Unfailing love and faithfulness. And John also says, no one has ever seen God. This is in John chapter 1, by the way. Sorry, I should give you references, really. he says, no one has ever seen God, but his only Son, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. And he has told us about him. So I'm quite logical. I just like to ask myself questions about these things when I hear them. And I thought, okay, so what did Jesus tell us about God? Well, one of the key things, Jesus always referred to God as his Father. And while the Jews knew that God was their Father, that was one of the names of God, actually for Jesus, it was like solely the only thing he talked about. Whenever he talked about God, he almost always referred to him as Father. So he really brought that idea to us afresh. God is our Father, and he wants us to be his children. Jesus showed us that God loves us so much that he's willing to go to incredible lengths to have relationship with us. Through Jesus coming and dying on the cross, and it's Jesus himself who said the famous words in John 3:16, the Father so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes on him will not perish but will have eternal life. And Jesus said, you know what, guys, all God wants is for you to love him back. You know, when he was asked, you know, what's the whole point of all the law and what's the main most important thing from the law and from the commandments that God's given us throughout the ages? And he said, you know what? It's summed up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then the second one was love your neighbor as yourself. You know, what does God want in return? He just wants love in response to this. So first two, I know God loves me because the Bible tells me. I know God loves me because of Jesus, and I know God loves me because of my experiences. So we have the lovely Heike West, who's going to come up and share her testimony just of how God has impacted her life with his love. And let me just explain this photo. Me and Mark were lucky enough to go to Paul and Heike's German wedding, and they have slightly different traditions over there, so you can ask them about this one later. So Heike, when did you first experience the love of God?
Well, the first time was through people. When I joined ABA, for those who don't know, this where I work is run by a couple of Christians who go to the Marla congregation, Al and Sandra. And I started there 6.5 years ago, and I've never met people who were so nice and appreciative and loving. Even though I was going through a really rough time, I was coming out of an abusive relationship with all the mess that was going around it, phone calls, my house burgled twice, threats, death threats, the lot. And they took me into their home, even though it could have been dangerous to them or their family. They just took me to their home because I had nowhere to stay. And I kept my job. I mean, that's I don't think any employer would do that after, you know, I couldn't answer the phone when there was suicide numbers and things like that. So, yeah, really three people who just went above and beyond what any normal person that I knew until then would do.
So what impact did that love that you experienced have on your life?
Well, I became curious about what are these people about? They're funny. You know, they're different from anything I knew. I moved in with another couple of Christians and directors of the company, and went to church with them. Organised an alpha course in the end at work with a lovely Carol, who's probably somewhere. Did an alpha course and then prayed my prayer here in this room 4 years ago, pretty much to the day. Yeah, so that's a massive impact, I would have thought.
Awesome. And how would you say that God's love has changed you?
It's made me a lot happier. I was always a smiley person. God always uses what you already have and brings it out. So I've always been a smiley person, but I've also been quite selfish. I've gotten a lot of trouble, did a lot of things I'm not proud of in my life. But then, through finding God, I'm a lot happier and I'm whole. I know this kind of is a bit of a cliche, but I feel a lot more whole than I did before. Just when I look back now, I can see that I was looking for something. I've always been kind of, going from boyfriend to boyfriend and from job to job and moved countries and address to address. And I'm really settled now, very happy and whole.
And if you answer that first question, how do you know that God loves you?
God was there for me when I didn't even know him. He really brought me out of a really horrible situation. But I took that job at ABA through a gut feeling. Just felt right. And I think that was the first step to getting to know God. And it still took 2.5 years after joining ABA before I prayed this prayer. So it took a long time. And there was a lot of things that happened in those 2.5 years that kind of put me on my path, put people with me. And when I finally prayed this prayer and accepted God into my life, I have been so blessed all the way through. I mean, I've met my husband like 2 months after I became a Christian. It's just totally changed my life. I've got a new family, and I'm just happy. I'm still not perfect, raging hormones a lot. I'm sure Ken Paul can tell you that. But yes, it's definitely, he loved me before I even knew him. And that is just proof enough.
Amazing. Let me give you a hug. And Heike, we love having you as part of our family. That's awesome. So those are my first three reasons. My other reason kind of was actually my main reason, but I wanted to talk about it last. So, and this is what God really, really spoke into my heart when I was thinking through this. I was thinking about, actually, why did God even make us? And at the moment, loads of our friends are having babies. You've got Paul and Heike amongst others. It seems like everywhere I go, people are popping. So, so I was thinking about why, and I was thinking, well, what's the main reason that two people decide to have a child together? And actually, it's certainly not because it makes any sort of financial sense. It's not that they feel this great burden to humanity that they must carry on the human race, And actually, when I think about it, it's because, Paul and Heike, they are having a baby because they're in love. And actually, they want to have kids because that's the way that they can express that love. And the love and joy that love brings in their lives, they want to expand that. They want it to grow in a family. So children are an expression of their parents' love. And actually, 1 John 4 says that God is love. It's not just that he's loving, it's that he actually is love. It's a part of who he is fundamentally. And I'm going to get a little bit theological on you now, but I hope that you can follow me because this kind of blew my mind a bit. It's basically because of the Trinity. Now, when you think about the Trinity, usually it's just one of those like, oh my goodness, I can't even wrap my head around that. How can there be three people in one God? Like, it's a bit crazy. But actually, God couldn't be love if there was only one of him. In the Trinity, you've got the Father, you've got the Son, and you've got the Holy Spirit, and each one of them loves each other, like absolutely loves each other. The Father loves the Son loves the Spirit, you get the idea. And they all love each other within that relationship, and they all put each other first. And actually, that brings a great joy and a great freedom to who God is in himself. And it makes it possible for him to be love. Because if you imagine right at the beginning, before any of the universe existed, if there was just one God, just one person, there's no one for him to love. There's no one for him to be loved by. Therefore, there is no love. Therefore, love doesn't exist. Whether as God is love, and he always has been love right from the beginning, because there's three of him in one. Hopefully you guys get that a little bit. And this just blew me away, because I was like, man, our God is this eternally loving and joy-filled, free bunch of relationships somehow that exists. And right back at the beginning, God said, I want kids. He said, I want a family. He said, wouldn't it be amazing? Sorry. He said, wouldn't it be amazing if what we have grows? If what we enjoy together here, if we have kids that we can share that with, if we have a family that we can enjoy that with, this joy and this freedom and this love that we have, we want you to have it. And God said, that is what I want. And I am prepared to give everything to get it. So we are the expression of God's love. And in a little bit, we're going to have some more songs. So if I could just ask Rob and the band to come up for me. Rob, sorry, I didn't prep you about this, but never mind. we're also going to take some communion together in a minute, just to have a think again about how much God loves us, what he did for us in sending Jesus. But Rob, if you don't mind, I'd like you to just play quietly for a little bit. And guys, what I'd like you to do, if you don't mind, we're just going to take some time out to think about that and to spend some time just you and God mulling over some of that. So if you don't mind closing your eyes, that would be cool. And we're just going to take some time to think a little bit about what you've heard of God's love so far today. And perhaps something that's been said has really struck you. It might be something that we've sung in one of the songs, or something that Heike said in her story. And I'd like you to ask yourself the question, do I really know that God loves me? Do I know that God loves me in my heart, deep down in my heart, not just in my head? Do I know that God loves me in the deepest parts of me, in the core of who I am? Do I know that I'm loved? Do I know God as my Father? Do I get that he always wants the best for me? That he's for me? That he's on my side? And this morning I believe that the Father wants to speak deeply into each one of our hearts and just remind us of this again if we already know, or just bring it to us for the first time. And he wants to say to each one of us, he wants to say to you, you are my precious child and I love you so much. You're my precious son. You're my beautiful daughter. And I love you. I will always be here for you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Your heart is in my heart. And you're safe with me. My unfailing love for you endures forever. My unfailing love for you endures forever. And the band are going to lead us in some more great songs. And as they do that now, there's just some free time, really. Some free time to worship. We're going to have, there's a communion table that's set up at the back, and that's just going to be open like for the next sort of 15 minutes or so. You can go up and get communion at any time that you'd like to, on your own or with some others. And Kim has written some amazing poetry about God's love, and as part of our worship she'll come and share that later. And there's some poems there on the table if you want to take one. Also on the table at the back, there's going to be some paper and pens, and if you want to go and draw a picture or write a letter to God, just however you want to just keep in touch with him now and speak to him, then you can go for that. And we're going to have the prayer team at the back of the hall, just next to the communion table. And so please go and see them if you'd like them to pray for you. And especially if when we're talking through, and if your answer to that last question was no, I don't really know that God loves me, then actually God just wants to fill your heart with his Holy Spirit and just fill your heart with his love so deeply that you really know deep down. So if that's you, then please go and they'll pray with you. Maybe it might be the first time that you've really ever heard that God's your Father and that he loves you and that he really, really wants to know you. And if that's you again and you think, actually, that's something I want, please go and get prayer. So I'm just going to pray quickly and I'll hand over to Rob and the band. Father, we're just blown away by you and we're just amazed by the depth of your love for us and how awesome you are, the fact that you want us to be part of your family, that we're your children and that you love us so much. And we just want to respond to that now and say, yes, God, we want to be part of that and we love you back. And you find his writings, unsurprisingly, in the book called John, and three more books called 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, because we're really imaginative about these things. And most of the stuff I'm going to look at comes from the book of John and also from 1 John. And 1 John is an amazing letter because most of the letters in the New Testament are to a specific group of people or a certain person. And so when you read them, you have to kind of think like, oh, does this actually apply to me? 1 John is amazing because in the letter, John says, I am writing this to all of you who believe in the Son of God. So this book is amazing. It's basically a guy who spent time with Jesus writing directly to you. And all the stuff that he thinks it's really important that we should know about is in that book. So it's pretty cool. If you haven't read it, I seriously say go home and read 1 John because it's amazing. And when you read it, you'll find that it's all about love. And we've looked so far a bit at God's amazing love and a bit at some of the main reasons that we know God's love, that God loves us. And in this little section for the next few minutes, I want to talk about our response. So, you know, what impact should his love for me have on me and what impact should it have on how I live my life? And when you read the book of John and 1 John, you see clearly that God's love should have a huge impact on our identity, which is who we think of ourselves, how we think of ourselves, who we think we are, how we think about ourselves. So we saw in the last section, we're God's child, we're loved by God. 1 John 5 says everybody who believes that Jesus is the Christ is the child of God. And later he says, see how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for he allows us to be called his children. And this is what we are. We looked at the fact that we're an expression of God's love. I just love that concept that we are the imagination of his heart right back in the beginning. That's what it's all about, him having a family. And in sending Jesus, we see how much we're worth to him, that we are of such great value. And John, when he writes his gospel, he never refers to himself as John. It's kind of weird when you read it. Whenever it should say, oh, John said this, it actually says, the disciple who Jesus loved says this. And that used to really annoy me because I kind of got a bit offended by it because I was like, well, why does he love you more than everyone else? And, you know, I was like, are you saying you're his favourite or something? But actually, when you read what John's written about God's love, it is so not surprising that that is what he calls himself. Because out of all of the people who write stuff in the Bible, oh my goodness, he really understands how much God loves him. And God's like really revealed his love to John in a really special way. And that has impacted John's personality and John's identity so much that when he thinks of himself, the first thing that he thinks of is loved by God. And that is how we need to think of ourselves. When I think of myself, I shouldn't immediately think Ruth and everything that comes with that. I should think loved by God, a child of God, worth so much. And so actually, John, I apologize to you for thinking that you were pig-headed. and actually, he's one of the guys, after doing this talk, I'm so excited to meet John in heaven because He's amazing. The other thing that John talks about in 1 John 4 is he says, actually, the result of really knowing that God loves you is that there's no room left in your heart for fear. And in 1 John 4, he says, all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living inside them. They live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love becomes more perfect. So we won't be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of punishment, and this shows we haven't fully experienced his perfect love. So if we're children of God and our hearts are filled with his love, there shouldn't be any room for fear anymore. And that's something in each of us that God really wants to deal with in our hearts. I'm sure that everyone has really specific fears to them. And for me, the things that I actually struggle with still, things that God's dealing with me. One is a real fear about finances, fear that I won't be provided for, that there's not enough. And another fear that I have is a fear of failure, especially when I'm trying something new or as a new thing to look to. So those are things that God's been gradually dealing with in my life. And some of that is just through spending time with him and knowing how much he loves me. And I'm excited to see after doing this talk quite where I am with those, because I feel like actually God's impacted me. So, but also our experiences, like me and Mark, lots of you know, a couple of years ago, we had an amazing experience where we had a year of absolute blessing and provision by God, where financially that year didn't make sense, but somehow God came through with us. And then what was interesting is that at the end of that year, there was a time when God then really impacted me and tried to like root out this fear of finances and provision. And it was like, it was only after he had provided for me for like 8 months that he then went, right, let's deal with it. And that's what he wants to do with us. As we understand and experience his love, there should just be a freedom from fear that comes and gradually overtakes our hearts. So the first impact that God's love should have on our lives is our identity. And the second main impact is on our action. Oh, what did I do? I double clicked. Okay. So the second impact that God's love should have on our lives and in our hearts is through our actions. Just going to read some verses again. You'll see I love 1 John. He's awesome. So, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And then in chapter 3, he says, we know what real love is because Christ gave his life for us. And we also ought to give our lives for our brothers. If anyone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need and then refuses to help, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us stop just saying that we love each other. Oh, I lost my place. Let us really show it by our actions, because it's by our actions that we know we're living in the truth. And so according to John, actually, our love for others is like the acid test. It's like the proof of actually, has God's love really impacted your heart? Or is it still only in your head and you're just talking about it? And later, Jesus said some amazing things to his disciples. I'm just going to put them all up there. You know, Jesus said to his disciples in 1 John 15, he said, quite near the end of his life, he's talking to them and he says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. So with the same love that exists within that Trinity that we were talking about earlier, Jesus has loved his disciples, his followers, us, in that same way. And he says, I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you. So basically, we should love each other, and the love that exists between us should be the same love that exists within the Godhead, that exists within, between the Father and Son. That's how I should love you, with that love. And that makes sense, because if the whole point is for God to have a family and extend what he's got, you know, it's kind of just all makes sense, really. And he goes on to say, here's how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. And it's easy when you read that verse to kind of immediately think of the cross and dying for somebody. But actually, when you look at Jesus' example throughout his whole life, you know, his life was spent laid down. You know, he loved every single person that he met. And he just, you know, you're constantly reading, Jesus saw this person in the situation and he had compassion on them. He had compassion for them in his heart. He saw people with God's eyes, not with his own eyes. He saw people and he loved them out of what he saw, because he saw them as God loved them. He went out of his way for people, people that other people would just pass by. Jesus stopped and gave them time and showed them love. And he put others' needs before his own. And he said himself, I came to serve and not to be served. Then my last verse, I promise, we're nearly there. Dear friends, that's you guys, you're my friends. Since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And that blew me away. I was like, when I love others, God's love is brought to full expression through my actions. Other versions say his love is made complete in us. And God really spoke this into my heart. Every single person that I meet, however briefly, how can I love them? I need to keep this in my heart. How can I be an expression of God's love to this person that's in front of me right now? And I remember Bill Johnson saying a while ago at the conference we had here, he talked about his kind of philosophy, the way that he walks through life is every person he meets, he feels, I owe this person an encounter with God. And actually, what I'd like us to do today is leave with the challenge that we owe everybody that we meet an encounter with God's love, because we carry it in our heart. And actually, if I don't love this person, who is going to? You know, maybe I'm the only person, or maybe I'm the only contact that they know that has the love of God living in my heart. You know, and Colin, you're dead right when you say all we need is love. It's true. And you know, that just really impacted me. Every person I meet, when they're before me, how can I show them God's love? How can I love them? And actually, I so need God's help with that, because I'm not there at all yet. So I'm just going to summarize really quickly. If you come away from today with nothing apart from what is on this slide, that is what I want you guys to come away with. We are an expression of God's love. That's our identity. You're an expression of God's love. You're his child, you're valued, you're loved by him. You can be free from fear. And we're an expression of God's love. That's our calling. That's the calling that is on my life, to be an expression of God's love wherever I go, whoever I meet. I owe them an encounter with God's love, because that's going to change their lives. I'm going to pray really quickly. Sorry, babes, like 1 minute. Okay, so Jesus, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, Jesus, oh, we just need your help with this, God. We just need you to come and to fill our hearts again with your love, so that when we go out and we meet people, we can just love them like you would have loved them, Jesus, when you were here on the earth. And we just pray for that this week. That when we're with people, you'll just remind us, Holy Spirit, just remind us, how can I love them? How can I show them God's love? And God, we just want to give you our hearts and just say, just root out any fears. Just deal with any fears that are still left over, still remaining. Just take them and just fill us with your love again. Amen.